It's 5:34, making our way home, home stretch of downtown on a Monday. Rich Kimball, Kerry Haskell with you, and on the G&M Family Market phone line. It's our friend Nick Coit from ABC6 in Providence. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, or good. It's that like weird period of the day where it might be afternoon, but then it's like early evening.
True.
Good afternoon / good evening.
Or just hey, Nick, how you doing? Hey,
how you doing? Hey, how you doing, man?
My goodness gracious, Patriots! That sure was one fairly ugly game yesterday. I thought
it was a doozy, wasn't it, Richard? It was a doozy. Yeah, it was sloppy. You know, it wasn't obviously what you'd expect out of the Patriots. But at the same time, you know, Tom Brady didn't practice a couple times last week. Gronk has been dealing with injuries. So, I guess you could see it. You could sort of see maybe a sluggish performance. But, credit to the Patriots. They came away with the victory. They survived and they advanced.
And I wasn't shocked by it because not only have the Jets given him fits in recent years, but Ryan Fitzpatrick seems to save his one good game a year for whenever he plays the Patriots.
Yeah, he seems to pull out his Harvard degree out of his back pocket and actually, you know, use his brains and not throw the football into the arms of the other team. And, yeah, it's funny, isn't it, that he brings his A game against the Pats. But, you know, I guess you could say that about – there's a lot of players out there that sort of – step up when you don't expect them to step up against the Patriots. And, you know, obviously this year, too, the Patriots defense has had its struggles. So, maybe that was a little inflated by that as well in their struggles and their continued fight to find some consistency there. But you're right. But, again, credit to the Patriots. They got the victory.
When they find a way in this strangest of seasons with four games without Brady and one game with no quarterback and Gronk in and out of the lineup, but here they are 9-2. So what have we learned about this team through 11 games?
It's a good question. I guess you could say I think we've learned that they're gritty. That we've learned that they're talented enough to get it done in a year where the NFL is sort of underwhelming. There hasn't been, with maybe the exception of a few teams, the Dallas Cowboys have had a great season. The Seahawks have shown flash. You know, the Oakland Raiders have sort of come of age. But, you know, it's not one of those seasons where you're looking at it and say, yeah, that's the team, you know, or those are the two teams. Or, you know, it's what, you know, just when you think, you know, one team maybe is on that path, then something happens. And so, but I guess you've learned that the Patriots are talented enough right now to compete, to be at that level, and they've had to grind out wins, too. I mean, listen, you were without, you know, maybe the greatest quarterback of all time for the first four games of the season. You went 3-1. They had to grind that out, and then he comes back, and you had to sort of, you know, grind through getting him back on the field, and then you've got a few injuries piling up. You had to grind through that, and so I guess you could say the Pats are gritty, and they can grind.
So did you laugh or were you yelling, no, 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 when Brady is out there as a lead blocker for Blount?
I don't know. I guess, you know, it's funny. Even if he did get hit or if he did do something, you know, I always expect him to get up. So I wasn't like a, you know, it's like, I guess I was looking at the TV and saying like, okay, come on, Tom. Come on, get out of the way. Just let him get tackled. It's fine, you know. But hey, that's Tom Brady. He'll at least act like he's trying.
Now, the 200th win, he downplayed it. Belichick talked about it a little bit. But do you think deep down inside it's going to feel good for him to leave Peyton Manning behind him?
Absolutely. I do. I mean, he's a team guy. He is. And I don't think it's one of those things where he's going to be, you know, popping champagne bottles, you know, behind the scenes or anything like that. But it's got to be satisfying. I mean, this is Tom Brady we're talking about, the guy that has a chip on his shoulder for being taken 199th overall, sixth round in the 2000 NFL draft, and knows the name of the six quarterbacks that were taken in front of him. So you got to believe that he knows how special this accomplishment can be. And obviously he competed with Manning for years, so to sort of outdo him in a statistical category like that has got to be somewhat satisfying. But obviously, I think you take the four Super Bowl rings any day over any personal accomplishment.
We're talking with Nick Coit of ABC6 in Providence. Patriots getting the win yesterday. Going forward, the Rams this week, who knows? It's the Rams after all. But big picture, heading into the stretch drive and then into the postseason, what should worry Patriots fans more, the inconsistent defense or whatever the heck is up in Steven Guskowski's head?
That's interesting. I would say the defense, because I think in the playoffs, Guskowski may have to hit a clutch kick or two, but I think he'll find a way. I haven't hit the panic meter like everybody else with a kicker because, I mean, listen, Steven Guskowski over the last couple of years was on an almost perfect pace in terms of the kicks that he was making, and he just never missed. So when he comes down back to earth and misses, a few kicks here and there during the season, Patriots fans are, ship him out of town. He's washed up. Bring back Vinatieri, kid. It's like, he's just average now, and that's okay. And plus, where else are you going to go for a kicker?
Right.
Bring somebody off the street? I mean, come on. I mean, I'd call up one of the what was the family of kicker? Grammaticas?
Call up
one of the Grammaticas?
Yeah, Martin Grammatica. Yes, there you go.
Yeah, something like that, or whatever the family of kickers was. But no, I think it's the defense because I think there's still, yesterday, finally, we saw the Patriots defense force a couple of turnovers, which, in the Bill Belichick era has been a staple of any defense that he's ever had is the ability to create turnovers. And coming into the day yesterday, Rich, they were 27th in the league, I believe, tied with Houston maybe in takeaways by their defense. Obviously, interceptions and fumbles are, accounted for in that statistic. Yesterday they got a couple, which is good. So they need to create more turnovers. And, of course, they haven't been able to stop some of these quarterbacks that are really below average. And guys like Colin Kaepernick and Ryan Fitzpatrick and guys that have struggled, those guys have looked like all pros against the Patriots defense. So there's a lot still to be figured out there, especially after Jamie Collins deal too. But Guskowski, I think, will come around. He'll be fine, like I said, but I think the defense is more troublesome, if you will.
From the grab a guy at his best and let him go before it heads south department, Exhibit A this week, Darrell Revis. Wow, just a shell of his former self.
I tweeted it yesterday after the second Malcolm Mitchell touchdown. It's like the guy is just – he's slow. He's just slow. He's not even – he's not one step behind his receivers. He's like two or three. I mean, it's amazing. And that's a credit to Bill Belichick, having the foresight to let the guy go at the right time. And he's had the ability to do that, with a lot of players. And I think he had some sort of sense. Remember when he was here, there was that one small instance that didn't blow up because Revis was very good that season and helped the Patriots win a Super Bowl. He was key. But there was that one small instance where he either showed up late for practice or something happened there. And I remember he did go in and he apologized for Bill Belichick, according to the story. But maybe that's where Belichick sort of got a sniff of, I wonder, does this guy think he's too good for the program here? Or is this guy, is this just going to be a one-year deal or whatever? So I don't know. Maybe that was part of it. But you're right. I mean, he is just a shell of his former self. And it's sad because this guy may be one of the, if not the, greatest quarterback of all time in his prime. And to see him yesterday like that is just like, wow, that is, it's shocking. It was only less than 2 years removed.
Yeah. Here's a question I know I haven't asked, probably in 20 years. Are the Patriots better than the Raiders right now?
It's tough to say because the Raiders are really, they've come of age. They're young. They're in a very tough division too. I mean, the Chiefs and the Broncos are no slouch there, and so they're in a tough division. They're leading it. Derek Carr has really been a wonderful player this year for them, and their defense is really good. Khalil Mack he's been a monster. I think in all areas, all around, it seems like the Raiders. Yeah, maybe they are, slightly better or playing better than the Patriots. But, see what happens if they happen to face each other in the playoffs. I'd love to see a Patriots-Raiders AFC Championship game. I mean, I would love to see that. We'll talk about the Tuck Rule and the Snowball and all that stuff, and that historical game there. But but I think you'll see there whether or not this team is good enough to beat up on an experienced Patriots team in the playoffs. But right now, it's tough to say because they're neck and neck.
Hey, before we let you go, Nick, a little baseball question for you. It's been pretty quiet around Yawkey Way as a longtime Sox fan. Who would you like to see as their DH next year?
Good question. I would go the veteran route, and I would like to see a guy like Carlos Beltran come in here. I think it'd be a good fit. I think if you can keep Hanley engaged at first base and keep him there, great season for them at first base last year. And you can fill that gap with a guy like Beltran who's still, hitting well at his age. I would do that, and it sort of gives you a stopgap where, maybe in a year or two you'd be able to reevaluate, the DH position and the first base position. Maybe you do move Hanley there. You've got a kid named Sam Travis who, got hurt last year, but one of your better prospects there that, can swing the bat. He's a great first baseman, could be your, full-time first baseman in a year or two, coming up from the minor league. So I would like to see the chief alternative role. I'm not an Encarnacion. I'm not a guy that's going to throw money in that department. I would rather them go out and get arms for the bullpen because I think that's going to become the new trend in baseball is beefing up and building your bullpen, as we saw the Indians do. So, I would go the cheaper veteran alternative route with the DH position.
That works for me. Nick Coyne, ABC6 in Providence. Good talking with you, my friend. As always, we appreciate it, and we'll do it again soon.
Thanks for having me, Rich. A pleasure as always.
That's Nick Coyne checking in with us here on Downtown. It's 5:46.